1027 WNEW, the Rock of New York, 2 for Tuesday with Leonard Skinner. The Stones before that with a tasty little track, Live With Me from Let It Bleed and Respectable. Starting off the OBE and Anthony show today.
Oh. What? Back up. I almost forgot. I'm sorry.
Are you sick?
Wow.
Sorry.
Ralph forgot. He always sprays.
I'm done. I'm now going to be sick.
Sprays the mic with Lysol.
Okay. Okay. Done. He's getting me back. Oh, never mind.
I sneezed on his mic.
You sneezed on Anthony's mic?
I sneezed on Anthony's mic.
Are you serious?
How did you sneeze? Ew, is that snot?
There is a piece of snot on the top.
No, I'm lying. See, you guys exaggerate everything.
Oh, we exaggerate everything? Did you see the pubic hair on the board that we pointed out yesterday?
And then there was bloody tissues.
Did you see the bloody tissues yesterday? Was that yours?
No.
All right.
Oh, well.
What a way to start another Opie and Anthony show. Wait, hold on. Let me turn your mic on. What happened?
Do you really want to know who I think the bloody tissue belongs to?
Well, Anthony lost it yesterday because his work area over there had bloody tissue.
Well, see, you don't know this because you're here late in the afternoon. But
yes.
In the morning when I come in, if he's still here, Steve Mason's working in that area with his laptop, just like you have your setup.
Well, not just like
I'm not pointing any fingers. I don't
leave bloody tissues.
There was bloody tissues and blood all over the newspaper.
Blood on one of the newspapers. And it wasn't the first time it happened. If it only happened once, I'd be like, somebody was hemorrhaging. It's okay.
Well, Devoe's been bleeding a lot lately.
From where?
Between his eye and his finger. He cut his finger on the air a couple of days ago. I didn't have my medical bag with me.
We have the easiest job in the world. How do you cut your finger on the job here?
Opening up a calendar. How do you cut your finger?
Oh, paper cut.
That's right. Sorry about that. Oh, you got me. I forgot about that.
Paper cuts.
Look at Ralph. Shut me up.
Try working with sheet metal.
All right.
Oof. Are we off and running?
Yeah, we're off
and
running.
Here we go.
This is what we do. It's our show.
And they're off.
Got to say hi to Brian in Brooklyn sending an instant feedback. There are lots of New York's bravest listening to you guys. All the guys in my house, Engine 156. What's up, boys? They love Yoshi especially, so that's cool.
Hey.
All right.
And, Are we doing the DiMaggio record today?
Yeah, we could do that.
Two consecutive days being dead?
Well, the joke goes, what happens on April 23rd, Anthony? You're redoing my joke. What happens on April 23rd?
What, Opie?
Joe DiMaggio will be dead for 56 consecutive days.
I don't think he'll ever surpass Lou Gehrig's record. That's a tough one to beat, as dead Yankee greats consecutively being dead for so many days. But Joe D working on it, day two.
Hey, did anyone else find the actual paper today?
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of false starts as I'm reading the Post and Newsday today. Our 20-page spectacular Joe D. commemorative section. It's like I'm going through the paper going, look, it's all Joe D. news.
And then finally, the middle of the paper, there was like three, you know.
Then they have the hidden paper within the paper.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, here's Monica on the cover.
And the Daily News, I mean, Jumper almost killed me.
Yeah.
Is there a better story that is happening in New York than that one?
We had a guy that saw this happen yesterday, and he described what happened to this girl.
Well, I got him queued up.
Oh, you do?
Because we had one of the first eyewitness reports of the incident.
Guy jumped off a roof and splat.
21 stories.
Woohoo! What a ride.
We were discussing this on the way in. You think he did a header?
From the description of his head popping like a light bulb, I would think his head hit first.
Yeah.
Or else, you know, your fall would be broken enough, I think, maybe, if you hit with legs first.
So poor Diane, she's on the cover of the Daily News. She says she... What did she say?
And,
she
and
heard...
And he was all over her.
She heard the wind?
Yeah, she heard like a whoosh and people screaming. But she didn't see, because I guess people saw him falling.
Was it like a Bugs Bunny cartoon when they had their
And I guess, but he didn't crawl out of the hole, dust himself off, and, you know, go to Acme for some missiles.
Yeah.
You know, he just splattered all over every piece of real estate within a 25-foot radius.
Can you imagine the guy's arm hit her?
Yeah, that's what happened. They're saying she heard this whistling, heard people screaming. She stops and like, huh? What? What the? And boom, his arm hit her shoulder. And it felt like a ton.
And she fell
down. Knocked to the ground.
Yeah.
She, as she gets up a little dazed and opens her eyes, she's covered with what's left. Yeah. with what's left of this guy all over her and all over everything. Disgusting, huh?
And she's saying that if she was a little over
Yeah, a little bit to the left.
A little to the left,
I guess.
She would have been dead.
This son of a bitch. You know something? I understand he's despondent. He's out of sorts enough that he wants to jump off a building. He was sane enough to call... Thank you. Call a friend and say he was doing this. You know, take some pills. There he goes. Oh, that had to hurt. He's out the window. He's despondent. Yeah. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But you take pills and lay in your bed and die. Don't threaten other people's lives.
Well, yeah.
She could have killed this poor... He could have killed this poor girl.
Let me take the other side of this, though.
Why?
If you're going to kill yourself, you're not thinking in those terms.
He thought enough to call someone. I'm going to kill myself. Look at me. I crap my pants. I ride a little rascal. And I got the polyester pants up to my nipples. I wear the wraparound sunglasses and the walker with the wheels and the handbrake. I'm jumping. But just think, other people aren't old and decrepit and might want to live out their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he just jumps. I think he has the I'm the only person in the world syndrome.
Which we talk about a lot on this show.
So. Most important person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he jumps and almost hits this poor girl who now I think is probably traumatized. I want to talk to her and ask her how she slept last night.
Well, we're trying to get her on the phone. Hopefully we'll be able to make that happen, Anthony.
I mean, could you imagine the type of nightmares?
No.
You dream that this guy with a popped head is chasing you and his arm is constantly hitting your shoulder. Why didn't you catch me? Why? It's your fault. You know, that would be horrific. Hi, N.E.W.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey,
what's up?
You think that girl, if she got some brain matter on her, she could say he gave her some head?
But up, up. A wacky little joke there.
Yeah, I got to lighten up this deep.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Good job. Well, let's play the eyewitness from yesterday that called in, all right?
Pretty sick.
All right, Chris, so what happened?
So walking down the street in front of the Harley-Davidson Cafe, and he heard this woman scream behind me. I turned around, and this guy came down and splattered all over the sidewalk. Like the guy was saying before, his brains were all over the sidewalk, all over the side of this grocery store, this gourmet grocery store. And I don't know about any guy being hit. But there was a woman there, a poor young girl in her 20s, absolutely hysterical because it happened right in front of her.
Wow.
In typical New York City fashion, the police are just sitting there and they leave the body with no cover on it for about 20 minutes.
Really?
Until someone finally gets a sheet and covers it. And then there's like a leg sticking out of the back of it. It looks like one of those cartoon characters with the legs like all twisted.
And you got some brain on you?
I hate to say, I think someone's misled you. I didn't get any brain on me.
Okay.
But it was all over the sidewalk, and people were, like, walking through it, because they didn't realize what happened right off the bat.
Right, you're just walking, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, what is this?
Yeah, and then throughout the day, my mechanic kept sending me back for coffee, which is right around the corner. So I kept going back and checking out, and everybody is sitting there for a good 5-6 hours. Until they finally took it away in the fire department, just sitting there with their hoses, hosing down the sidewalk with all the brains going down into the sewer.
Oh, wow. That's what it all comes down to, doesn't it? Your brains in the gutter.
Yeah, unfortunately it seems to. I hate to run, guys, but I got to catch a bus to get home.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you
for
that.
You guys rock.
All right.
Later.
Bye. And there you have it. Chris from yesterday.
Oof. So... That's it. He lived 70-some-odd years to have his brains hosed out of the gutter.
Hosed off the sidewalk into the gutter for the rats.
Isn't that wonderful?
All right. Well, lots more to do today. We got Johnny Lang coming in at 4 o'clock.
Yes, we do.
Can't wait to see him again. He came by in the summertime. We had so much fun hanging out with him. And I think we're going to play Bra Bingo with Johnny Lang today.
Yeah, that's a fun game. We like Bra Bingo.
I haven't played in a while. Mm-hmm. A lot of people love when we play Bra Bingo, so... You want to tell the people how to get their cards ready for the game, Anthony?
Yeah, if you want to play along at home, you make a standard bingo card, which is 5 by 5 squares, with the middle square of the card being your free boob space. And you throw in random brassiere sizes.
Yeah, don't put all the obvious sizes in a row.
Yeah, if you put all the fun, cool, common sizes all in a row, you're going to win... very quickly, because we just randomly take phone calls, and it's you're only cheating yourself, people.
Yeah,
you're only cheating yourself. So we suggest putting a bunch of sizes in a hat, and you draw them out and fill them in across that way, so there's no favoritism.
And the center square, the free boob square.
Free boob. We then take calls from girls who give us their bra sizes. And if you match on your card, the bra size on the phone, you exit off.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, first person that gets five in a row, diagonally or up, down, across, wins.
There you go.
Bra bingo.
All right. We'll play that sometime after 4 o'clock with Johnny Lang.
And if you do want to play along at home, make your cards up, fill it in, and then you're going to have to fax them to us with your name on it.
Sure.
So that way, after the game's done, if you, in fact, did win, you could then fax it to us, and we can check to make sure you didn't just make it up.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And maybe we'll have some tickets or something. You never know.
You never know.
1027 WNEW, the Rock of New York, 2 for Tuesday with Nirvana from Unplugged, That's Dumb, and Come As You Are from Nevermind. It's Opie and Anthony.
Well, Opie, I think quickly I'm seeing in USA Today it says, shock jock aftershocks. Advertisers clean up. They say that advertisers on radio programs that feature shock jocks do much better than on shows that don't have shock jocks.
Is this today's USA Today?
Yeah. They talk about, let's see, the Greek man, yeah, and Don Imus.
Yeah.
And Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're saying that you know, these shock jocks, advertisers don't shy away because they've seen through their little research that people are listening to those ads.
Mm-hmm. They get people to buy the product.
How about that?
But I guess shock jocks, it's a hot topic in America these days because mm-hmm. the Grease Man.
The Grease Man, yeah.
Getting fired a couple weeks back.
You da dee da do. Yeah. I just can't say anything racial there. Or Opie and Anthony get in trouble. Yeah. Yaddle doodle dee. Schnarlins.
Are you still on your apology tour, Grease Man?
And I'm on the Grease Man apology tour.
Yeah.
I'm apologizing to everybody. Yeah. The chinks. Yeah. Did I say chink? Who?
Yes, you did.
I'm in trouble again. Yeah.
You're shocking.
Yeah. Yoodle diddle doodle dee. Yaddle daddle. Bone dry. Bone dry. That's what happened that day. I drank a few too many bone dries. And I was drunk on the air.
You didn't know what you were saying, right?
And I knew not what I said.
All right.
So now I'm going around the country apologizing.
Well, do you have another...
To anyone that'll listen. Yoodle doodle. I'm doing a radio show in an igloo. Apologizing to the Eskimos. I said, hey, you blubber-eating dope. Yaddle doodle dee.
Do you have another gig lined up yet, or...?
Not yet. Job offers not coming in for the Grease Man show.
No, huh?
No.
What are you going to do if you're out of radio?
I don't know. Maybe television.
Yeah?
Look at my good looks.
Oh, yeah. You look great.
Yes.
On Nightline.
I'm going to do my apology tour, though, for the next year. Just going to go around everywhere in the world. I don't care who it is.
Have you talked to Cosby yet?
The Krauts. The Chinks. The Mix. The Dagos. Everybody. Yada doodle dee. I'll apologize to people I haven't insulted.
All right.
Yeah, Martians. How about those red bastards, the Martians? Yada doodle, those short little people. Martians. I hate the Martians. Did I mention homos?
Yada doodle dee.
How about the homos? I'll tell a gerbil joke and then apologize for a year to the homos. Yada doodle dee to die. On the Grease Man Show's apology tour.
Oh, very nice. Well, is Anthony still... there you are.
Hi, Opie.
Why don't you let him take over the mic like that, man?
I don't know. He just goes.
So it's a big article on Shock Jocks in USA Today. They mentioned the Grease Man.
Yeah, but they're saying the advertisers stay with it, and it's a...
Well, do they have other examples of people getting fired for saying something shocking on their radio show?
Let's look. Yes, in Austin, Texas, a radio host joked about assassinating President and Mrs. Clinton and Vice President Gore. Wow. A Nashville disc jockey called boxer Mike Tyson the N-word.
And he got fired for that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And in Sacramento, California, a DJ encouraged motorists to run down illegal immigrants crossing the Mexican border. Yada dada, why didn't I think of that one? Hop in your cars, run down the wetbacks, Yada doodle dada day.
You're kidding? He got fired for that?
Yeah.
Are we mentioned in this article? Because ours was pretty intense, too.
Opie, once again, we were looked over.
All right.
Our dead mayor in Boston's shtick didn't even rate. Doesn't even rate.
Come on. That's better than calling Mike Tyson the N-word.
I know. But I got to say, it's not as good as encouraging motorists to run down illegal immigrants.
Yeah, that's
crossing the border.
That's up there.
Yada dada. I love it.
1027 WNEW, the Rock of New York. It's Priceline, Anthony.
Priceline, yada yada.
Oh, it's
the Grease Man.
Man
loves Priceline.com.
Are you getting paid to do this live read for us,
no.
Grease Man?
No, I'm not getting paid.
All right.
No, not for this. I just love Priceline. Yeah. On my apology tour, I'm going to a lot of hotels in a lot of different cities here.
Yeah.
And I call Priceline.
And you need to save money because you don't have a gig right now, so.
That's right.
All right.
I name my own price, and yada doodle. Priceline comes through and saves the Grease Man all kinds of money.
Plus, if you use their service, they throw in that free hotel room.
I could always use free nights.
Yeah.
When I'm sitting in my hotel room, drinking bone dries, thinking of how can I goof? Goof on the wetbacks. Thinking of my next act. Maybe a little joke about the chinks. I need a free night. In a hotel, yeah.
All right.
Well, yada doodle.
Well, how did you do it? You gave him a call at 1-800-PRICELINE, or did you go on the web?
I went on the web.
Yeah.
My phone's tapped.
Oh, yeah?
People hate the Grease Man.
I see that.
Yada doodle.
So you went to www.priceline.com?
Yes.
All right.
And I named my own price for a hotel. And they said, yeah, we'll give you that price, yeah. And lo and behold, I'm in a hotel for the price I named. With Priceline, yeah.
Were you slinging lead in the hotel room?
I had my piece. Yeah. I was packing heat, ready to sling lead with anyone threatening the Grease Man. Woodle doodle deedle die. Snarlings, snarlings, bone dry.
Yeah, what does snarlings mean, anyway?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm having flashbacks, yeah.
It just sounds good on the radio when
yes.
you say it?
I sound like Mr. Magoo, don't I?
Yes, a little bit.
Yaddle deedle doo, by George. Didn't Magoo have that little chink that went around with him?
Yes, he did.
And he used to say, Mr. Magloo, Mr. Magloo. Yeah, why didn't they get in trouble? How come Magoo never had to apologize like the Grease Man does for making fun of the little chink who said, Mr. Magloo, Mr. Magloo, what's that?
Well, it's Priceline.com.
Oh, that's right. We're doing a commercial
there. Yeah, if you want
Priceline.com.
All right, we're going to be talking to Johnny Lang in just a bit here. Stick around for that. And then later on the show, Sammy Hagar coming in for a visit. I think we're going to be drinking tequila with Sammy Hagar, right?
Yeah.
He sent over the bottle, and we might as well try this stuff today.
Test drive it.
1027 WNEW, the Rock of New York. Two for Tuesday with Rush, closer to the heart and subdivisions. It's Opie, it's Anthony, and it's our pal Johnny Lang, everyone.
Howdy, you?
Johnny's back, man.
When were you here last? Do you remember?
A year ago or something.
Was it that long? We haven't even been here a year.
We haven't been here a year.
Believe me, it seems like 10 years.
It seems like, yeah.
We've aged about 10 years. Yeah. You want to put your headphones on or no?
Oh, I'm fine. I can hear you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You won't be able to hear the callers.
I can't hear you. Oh. Well,
then, playing the Hammerstein Ballroom tomorrow night.
Yep.
All right. And here he is back, and you're going to be playing in the imaginary ballroom in a little while. So, Anthony has a question about the Nickelodeon thing.
Well, how old was that? How long ago was that?
See, I don't recall doing that, but somebody...
You don't?
No, somebody told me to do it. Was it cute?
Oh, it was just...
that was adorable.
Yeah, no, I'm laying in bed, and it's Saturday morning or something, and it was that Linda Ellerbe show, that Who, What, Where, Nick News thing.
Man.
And it's some kind of new... You could tell they take clips from all over. They're not Nickelodeon's little wacky bubble camera going out shooting things. Obviously, it was taken from something else, little video clips and stuff.
Right.
And I was like, you know, hey, look, it's Johnny Lang. Look, but he's 10. it was pretty funny.
I think I remember doing it a little bit.
Really?
Yeah,
it was
not
cute.
Sure.
It was a very sweet, cute little piece.
Yeah, you had your long hair then. And,
yeah.
Oh,
it's growing
yes,
in a little bit.
About my obsession with unicorns. That's what... I remember that.
It's growing in, though, your hair. I see that.
Yeah.
You going with the gel thing?
No, it's Dax.
What is that?
That's the every kind of oil you can... fit in a little jar.
Dax?
Yeah, I
thought it was something to do with there's something about Mary or something.
No.
Well, Dax.
Well, then I'd never have to put anything in my hair ever again. No, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought.
Anyway, Dax?
Yeah, it's
wondering.
Well, it says you're only supposed to put it in your hair like once every 3 weeks. But
really?
For better healthy hair, I just use it every day.
All right. No, it kind of looks good.
Yeah.
All right.
So we've been jamming the new CD, Wander This World.
Cool.
We'd love it.
Great, man.
Want to tell the people about it that haven't picked it up yet?
Yeah.
It's a little different.
Yeah. It's little segue from the blues thing. It's kind of a like a more of a funky soul R&B rock kind of album.
I hear this.
To put it in a genre.
It fits in that very.
We hear the R&B, definitely, you know.
Yeah.
Cool.
And how's the touring going?
It's great.
Have you been touring ever since you saw us last?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Oh yeah.
Is it getting old?
No.
Really?
No. No, man. You look at B.B. King and you like got no excuse to sick of touring.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Look at back then and stuff.
Well, he plays like 260 shows a year.
Still?
Yeah.
Well, he's got it. The white man took all his money. You know?
Well, isn't that the truth? Well, come on now. I think that's the truth, right? Didn't that happen? Like, BB,
he didn't get the greatest record deals when his first Star Now.
I don't think anybody did, but I'm watching this show last night, this rock show, and they showed a bunch of black artists back in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And obviously, white radio wasn't playing the black artists. So they had white guys doing the black guys' songs. But, they had Pat Boone doing a womp bomb balooba. And it's like, hey, a womp bomb balooba balooba. It just didn't work. So BB, I guess, got caught up in that whole thing, too, where white guys are doing his song. He wasn't getting money and credit for it. Mm-hmm. And now he's making up for lost time.
Apparently.
But you, though, I mean, come on. You could take some time off, right?
Well,
hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get home and stuff, or are you just, like, constantly touring?
No, I get home, you know.
Yeah?
Once a year.
Really?
No. I'm probably at home, you know, 2-3 months out of the year.
Yeah. And then what, like, your friends come up, hey, look, he's like the cool guy. Man. Do you have any friends, or is it just a drag?
No, I have no friends. It's great. No,
really? I can't tell if you're serious or not.
No, man. I got, you know, my buddies from second grade back.
Really? Then. They didn't turn into dicks or anything?
No. No, it's great.
So like, hey, man. Beers. Hey, it's cool. Johnny will buy the beers, man. He's like, you know, because what are they doing? Working like 7-Eleven or something?
No, yeah. Well, Pepsi, my friend Brett works at the Pepsi plant in Fargo.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Whoa. That's Pepsi plant in Fargo.
That's huge.
That's a gig. That's a you're the man gig. If you got that
must
job,
be.
Right?
Yep.
Wow, I was going to leave Fargo if things didn't get better. Then I got the job at the Pepsi plant. Yeah? What else? Any other, you know what? So I got to be the guy that works at the convenience store that just thinks when you come back home, it's like, wow, look, it's Johnny Lang.
No, there's the guy that still lives with his, you know, parents.
Parents,
and has no job. And
yeah, but wait. But most people your age still live with their parents.
Right,
dude.
Right.
No, well,
we got guys in their 30s that still live with their parents down here in New York. How old are you guys now? What, 18, 19?
I'm 18, yeah.
Yeah. Say most.
18. When was your birthday?
January 29th.
Really? So recently. What'd you do? Must have had a big 18th bash.
No.
No?
No.
I was touring.
I got a tattoo and spent some time with my girlfriend who has the same birthday.
Let me see the tat.
There it is on the shoulder.
Wow. Look at that. That's some kind of Mayan artwork?
Yeah, it's the Aztec calendar.
Now, John.
Just in case you forget what day it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at my shoulder. In Aztec, it's like...
Now, you're 18, you're on the road, like 9 months out of the year, 10 months out of the year.
Yeah.
Why a girlfriend?
Why?
Yeah. I'm serious.
Stability, Opie.
If I was a rock star at 18, that would be the furthest from mine.
Yeah, but look, he's been doing this for years now already. He's probably he's so sick of it.
Yeah.
No, you know, I don't know. She's like my best friend.
Look at us discussing your life. See, Opie, what it is
next
in his life. No? Any book or anything going to come out about how bitter you are about having to tour so much?
Definitely.
Really?
I can see that. Like, you know, I was a kid and they had me rushing around.
No, you're not going to come out with one of those things going, they never allowed me to put the
title. The record label held me down and made me cut my hair.
That's why I was in the car with the transvestite. I was never able to be a child.
Started preaching from the Bible, Samson and Delilah, I must cut your hair.
We have to. Did it with a hatchet. No. No bitterness or anything?
No.
You're a happy guy?
Yeah. You know.
That's good. You come across that way.
Well, good.
We like that because we're miserable. Anybody happy in this room, we're happy about it.
We're getting happier, though, I guess.
All right, so wait.
Shut up.
You guys got, like, the beach scene here?
Oh, tequila?
What?
Well, we got Sammy Hagar coming in a little later, too.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
And he's got this tequila or something from his place in Cabo.
All right.
So he goes on other radio shows, but they're not allowed to drink. on the radio because it's some kind of like FCC law. But we're going to crack that puppy open and do some shots.
Oh,
you're 18, yeah. Right? Oh, God, what's the drinking age in New York?
Well, he's almost 21. In Canada.
Yeah, he's legal in somewhere.
21 it is. I remember it was 18 when I turned 18 in New York. And it was just like, poof. You had a drink, right?
Huh?
Well, you got the tat. You usually don't get tats unless you're drunk, right?
No, I've never.
Your girl got a tat also?
No, she didn't.
I thought she...
She was going to.
Yeah.
You know, she either chickened out or just pleaded, I'm not ready or something.
Yeah. That is a big commitment.
Hey,
yeah.
Who's this?
Maria.
Hi, Maria. You got a question for Johnny?
No, actually, I just wanted to let him know that we saw him in Philly on Sunday, and he was so excellent, and it's so amazing that he's so young and so talented.
Yes,
and he's so
black. Supple and firm.
What? Is he? No, he is. He is hot.
So you're kind of bummed that he has a girlfriend?
No, I share.
You would
what?
Share.
Wow, where are you from?
New York.
Oh. I won't be there for a while.
Oh, that's great.
Well,
I saw you already anyway, but you're really good and, you know, keep it up.
All right, you going tomorrow night, Hammerstein?
No.
No?
Well, you never know now.
You never know.
Hopefully my boyfriend's listening and he's going to take me.
All right.
Oh my God.
So long.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
All right.
So in a fight, do you think you could, like, kick all three Hansen guys' asses? Like
no.
What? Not
no.
Frank and Hansen, I don't think. I think if you took Frank and Hansen out of the mix, the older one.
I couldn't even take the little one, man. They're really cool guys.
Did you meet them?
Yeah.
I figured that would have to be something they would hook up, like some stupid publicist thing. Wait, where's the publicist? Like, we got to get them together with Hansen. Get the girls on board.
So you got a good Hansen story?
Well, yeah, I mean,
we were all drinking backstage, banging broads.
We were
but all of a sudden, Frank and Hansen. How bad is that? That poor older brother. I mean, you got the two little cutesy kids, right? And the chicks are just totally after him. After the shows, they do the meet and greet. And all the little girls come up. And poor Frank and Hansen's got to stand there like, and the kids' moms are coming up going, you're just a lovely boy. And meanwhile, you know, the other two Hansens are just getting the pick of the 16-year-old broads. Oh.
You're ruthless.
Oh, but you're getting that, though, right?
Let Johnny tell us Hansen's story.
All right, what happened with you and Hansen?
Well, they live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they came to our show and hung out. They were they were just the cool. They're so cool.
Were they?
Man. They're like so, you know, level-headed and
really. I see. Cool. I think that's going to come out in a book, though. You can't be that young and have that kind of success. You know, what's the little one? Was like in the fetus. I think originally the mother was in the gynecological stirrups, and drumsticks were coming out of her womb playing the drums. That was the first Hansen recording.
Really?
Yeah. No, I don't think you could be that young and have that kind of success and stuff without being bitter and writing the book at, you know, 22.
Well, 23. And you have to have all 10 fingers.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you can't play before you get out of the womb.
There's a Behind the Music special waiting to happen with Hansen, you know?
Look at that other one with what's his name there? Leif Garrett. Did you see that one?
Oh, man.
Did you see that? Yeah.
My dad told me about it. He said it was pretty.
Oh, you got to see. I think you being a young guy who's, you know, popular and stuff, you ought to watch that and take notes because you don't want to go that route. Don't let any of these idiots tell you what to do, including us.
Hi, N.E.W.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. What do you got for Johnny?
Oh, I had a question for him. I actually emailed it to you guys, but I guess you're not looking at your screen or your monitor or whatever. I had a question. He was on a TV interview, and they were asking him why he failed his driving test. And he didn't answer. He said his grandma was watching. I didn't know if he could answer that now.
Well, grandma's not listening, so, Johnny, you got to fess up.
Look, he's flustered.
Well, the Hansen brothers were there.
We were drinking.
Yeah. No, I didn't study the book before I went in. So they let me by with a written on the third time.
Wait, the written you failed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how do you
fail
the written?
Those are like, try in L.A., man.
What does a stop sign mean?
What did you guys think?
I mean, come on.
No,
the guy can play guitar behind his back with his eyes closed, but that driving thing, I don't know, yield. What does that word even mean?
Well, you guys, like, took your driving test in the 30s, so. How does a horse and buggy make it across a four-way intersection?
Oh, that hurt.
that's like
that's funny.
The God is that's the old NEW DJs though.
That's good.
You do make us look old though. So
yeah, I remember taking mine the radio on ba 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 bang a dang dang.
Hi NEW.
Hello.
Hi, you got a question for Johnny? It's all ladies calling in for you, Johnny.
Of course.
Excuse me.
Go ahead. What's your name?
How do you know I'm an old lady?
I said a lady. All ladies, not old lady.
Okay, I was beginning to feel insulted.
Well, how old are you?
We'll work on that.
Excuse me.
That means
how
you're old.
How much do you weigh?
Yeah, I'm old enough to be his mother.
Ah.
And I'm a big fan.
And I want to mother him.
No, I don't. I have my own children. Thank you very much.
All right.
I'm just very, I feel sorry that
he's on this show.
Take your driving so that you could have passed your test.
Well, I did eventually pass it. So now
but who taught you how to drive?
Well, I grew up on a farm.
That doesn't tell me anything. I grew up on a farm myself.
So then you know what I'm talking about.
I didn't see cars there.
You didn't? Well, you drove the combine, didn't you?
No,
we had the carriages pulled by the oxen.
Oh, okay.
That's how old I am.
Come on.
Well, we had motor vehicles on my farm, so.
No, we didn't have any. My father couldn't afford them.
All right, do you have a question for Johnny?
Yes, I do. I wanted to know if his music has been influenced by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, definitely.
Of course.
I think his influence to me was more just his energy as an artist instead of, you know, trying to copy his guitar licks, you know. He was just so intense, and that really, you know, rubbed off on me, I think.
Oh, yeah, because the reason why I appreciate your music is because you play with as much intensity as he does.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, that's the drugs, actually.
No, it's not. He looks like a pretty clean kid. But I think
hair.
You play from your heart, and that's why you're so successful.
Right on. Well, thanks for calling.
Take care.
All thank
right.
you.
Bye-bye.
No drugs or no drug problem, right?
No.
Good,
no.
good. No, no pot?
No.
Well, you know what it is? You grow up, and you grow up in the public eye like this, and a lot of people who went through that whole age bracket at least experimented with weed. You ever take a poke or anything?
Well, I mean, the scars are clearing up.
I see that. The track marks. No, that's good. That's good. You gotta stop that. You got to get the monkey off your back.
Yeah, definitely.
The H, the big H, the horse, the smack.
Hey, Spike.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up? You got something for Johnny?
Yeah, I got a question.
All right. We've seen Spike naked. She's really hot.
Really?
Oh, it's Spike.
Yeah.
Yeah, you rock.
Well, I saw him about 9 times opening up for Aerosmith a couple summers ago, and I was blown away.
Of course.
Blown away.
He's great.
I mean, 16 years old, just playing like you couldn't even imagine. I was amazed.
She's a dominatrix, too, by the way. Yeah.
Wow.
I know she's got a tattoo. Johnny?
You do?
It says pink, right?
It says what?
Pink, right?
Pink.
Yeah?
Like right on the
because of Aerosmith?
With the an pubis
arrow.
Mons.
Would that be the Aerosmith pink? The
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She has
Aerosmith pink. What can I say?
She has the best tattoo I've ever seen in my life.
It's a good one. It's like a road map.
In the best place, maybe. Okay. actually, I noticed a lot of mannerisms that possibly were picked up from Steven. Just
yeah.
wondering if you had any influence from there.
Oh, you know, I think every band, you know, we've been out with touring or whatever, getting to see them live, it's kind of like learning through osmosis, you know. You pick up
yeah.
stuff you don't really, you know you're picking up, and so.
You don't even realize it, so you see yourself doing it.
Right. But, no, I think, you know, Steven and I went to the same mannerism school. I could explain a couple things.
All right, Spike.
Very cute.
Thank you.
Very excellent. Take care.
All right, Spike.
Bye.
We love Spike.
Spike checking in.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break so we can get you playing in the imaginary ballroom.
All right.
102.
Golden, Colorado.
Hey,
sorry
let him
about
finish.
That. 1027 WNEW, the Rock of New York. It's Opie and Anthony and our pal Johnny Lang. We love when he stops on by the studio. His Wander This World song rocked.
Thanks, man.
Are tickets still available for tomorrow's show? Really?
Yeah.
Very surprised at that. Hammerstein Ballroom tomorrow night with Johnny Lang. We'll all be there.
Yes, we will.
Hanging and partying. You want to play a quick game of broad bingo with us before you get out of here?
Since I'm 18 now, yes.
You could have played when you were 16.
Something tells me he was.
Yeah.
Don't let him kid you.
He was playing the Braille version of the game.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to have to prove that.
What size is anything.
That? Well, we got our bingo cards in front of us. This is our favorite game on the Opie and Anthony show. And it's a 5x5 bingo card. The center square is the free boob square. And then we filled in random bra sizes.
You can mark off your free boob square right now.
All right, I'm going to circle
you're
that.
Given that.
Okay, I'm going to tell... Can I tell what order to... them for them to come in.
Oh, no, no, that's cheating.
Oh, man.
Hi, Annie W.
Look at you.
Hi, who's this?
Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
You like Johnny Lang?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. She gets all giddy.
Are you excited to tell him your bra size?
Only 14.
You are a sick man.
Wait a minute. This is good. I have like a small size on here.
Oh, Jesus. Thanks, guys.
24 AAA. I got that. All right. Oh, you got a question for Johnny Lang before we get in
trouble?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I was at the concert last night, and I just
want
to say it was totally amazing.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, bye. And now she'll call to the other station. Hey, is NSYNC there? Hi, Annie W. Annie W.
Hello.
Hi, you're not a girl.
No, I'm not. I was in a record store last night, and I found a CD, Kid Johnny Lang and the Big Bang, and yeah. I'm wondering what happened to that band, or is that a transformation of his current band?
No, that's my evil parallel twin brother. I did that when I was like, when I was 13. That was the first album I ever did. And that band, we kind of got defunct there. Everybody kind of went their own way and whatnot. So.
I saw you the first time about 2 years ago. You played in a Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah.
And it was a great window into what was to come, and I think you're really great, and I'll see you tomorrow night at the Hammerstein.
All right, there you go, man.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We need some brassieres.
Yeah, we need bras. Hi, Annie W.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, how old are you?
13.
Oh, my God.
I'm ruining your game of bingo here, guys.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
That's okay.
God, I can't believe I got through.
All right, you got a question for Johnny?
I'm going to tomorrow night's concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know if I can get backstage.
Yeah.
Ooh. I just want to get an autograph.
Pardon?
What would you do for an autograph?
Oh, I'll come on. Check. Check, please.
What?
Check, please.
Well, maybe some bacon cookies or something.
This table has to
maybe
be buzzed.
You're the one with the sick mind.
You're going to... Opie's like, oh, look at him. He's trying to get that little article in the Daily News.
What?
He's trying.
No, hey, honestly, if you want to, come to a meet and greet or something... ask for... No, I'm not going to say his name.
Well, we can put her on. We can put her on hold.
Yeah, yeah, we can do that.
All right, hold on the line, okay?
Okay.
All right. Whew. Well, this broad bingo's
Opie almost screwed that up for us.
Hi, yeah. N-A-W.
Hi, I have a question for Johnny Lang.
You sound a little older. How old are you?
I'm 23.
All right.
Well, I don't want to do this broad bingo thing.
Well, let's say you did
I
want...
I got a real question here. I'm a musician. I'm not into this whole broad bingo thing.
Good.
Right?
Good for you.
Right, that trash. I'm an artiste.
I'm not going to go there. I just have a question. I'm a fan, all right? I'm just a fan.
All right, let's say you were playing. What size would
God.
You...
Oh, God.
Excuse me?
What size would you say your bra is?
Well, can I talk about my question first?
Only if you give your bra size first.
Right, oh, no.
This is the game. This is the rules. This is society. All right. I'm going to get you all excited. I'll say I'm a 34DD.
All right, 34DD. Yeah, you have that?
No, I don't. But I
wait
just
a minute.
You're really playing bingo in there?
Oh, I have
of
a single
we're really
D.
Playing.
I mean, you got the cards.
Of course.
Of course we do. All right, what's your question for Johnny?
All right, here. First of all, as far as performing venues, I was just curious what your favorite thing was, whether it was in a recording studio or a smaller gig or... something large like the Garden, because I caught you opening for Aerosmith '97 in the summer, and when they brought you out on stage, I was first row, so I noticed, and you didn't seem quite as aggressive as I expected you to be.
You
seemed a little shy about getting out there, and I thought, you know, a guy with, you know, you have a great voice. And you're cute. You know, you got it all going on.
Where was this, the Garden?
This is the Garden. And
well, think about it. You're stepping out in the Garden. It's not like stepping out of some coffee house down in the Village.
Yeah, but he practically stepped out of the womb singing. He's 18. He's already, like, a big blues phenomenon. Everybody's acknowledged him. I mean, it's not like he's like, this is my first gig. You know? I mean, I think, right?
So... do you want your money back?
Yeah, right.
No, no, I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm just kidding.
It's really just a question.
So typical. She had a curse.
She had a curse.
She used the F word. We're on a delay, so we can
good.
Dump that out. Yeah. Yeah. Which we did.
Wow.
Is that amazing? Hey, technology.
She cursed.
If you're still listening, though, thank you. Because No, that was very observant of you. I was really nervous, you know, it was Aerosmith.
Well, you're opening up for Aerosmith, and it's a garden. Yeah, of course.
So.
You know what I noticed? You have to get a little more bitter.
Huh?
You're really nice. I understand that you're fans and everything, and you have to be very nice to them. But somebody like that go, you know something? Kiss my ass. It's Madison Square Garden. If I was a little nervous stepping out on stage, I was nervous. What are you, reading my emotion? Listen to the music, enjoy this show, and shut up.
Well, hey, if you
I got your money, screw you.
Oh.
That's what he means, right?
That is Anthony talking. That is not Johnny Lang talking.
Let's move on here. Hi, Annie W.
Hi, I'd like to play Robin.
Oh, it's about time. What's your name?
Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hi.
How old are you, Betty?
You don't want to know.
Sure.
No, we do.
Go ahead.
I'll be 43 this year.
Oh, right on.
can I ask John something real quick?
Yeah, you can.
Is he going to join the Hummer Club or what?
The Tuesday Hummer Club.
Yeah, we have a new club, John.
Yeah.
Look, he's all nervous. Yeah, I don't want to know this.
I get a free Humvee.
Okay. If you can travel 60 miles upstate, then yeah, sure.
Well, we encourage the ladies to,
she might even pop her teeth out for you.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks, John.
I'm kidding.
All my friends about you.
Come on.
We're just joking.
We love our fans.
I know.
We encourage the ladies to give Hummers on Tuesdays, Johnny.
Yeah.
And it's been working, right?
Yes, it has been. All right, what's your bra size?
36C.
Hey, what do you have between your boobs now that you didn't when you were a kid?
Yes.
Your belly button.
I have my first mark.
All right, thank you,
older
Betty.
Older than I am.
Hey, what size was that?
36C.
Right.
36. Oh, I got that.
Thanks, Betty, all right?
Okay.
All right. All right. Oh, good. That lines up with my free boob space.
You guys are making me out to be kind of a sick puppy here.
No, no.
Not at all. You're getting into the game. It was a corner square for
you're
you.
Being coerced. Everyone could see it.
Hi, okay. N-A-W.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I want to play prop bingo.
All right, what's your name?
It's Ellen.
And how old are you?
I'm 39.
Ooh, okay.
And what's your bra size?
34C.
34C. I have to have that. I saw that earlier on my card.
You have to have it, huh?
34C. Yes.
Me too.
That's a...
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
Ah, damn.
Did anybody win yet?
Oh, that's corner square for me.
Yeah.
I see that.
Corner square.
Yeah, that's my corner, too. I hope we don't have the same card.
No. Okay, now, listen. What do your boobs look like?
What do they look like?
Like, you know, if you had to describe them in the form of a fruit, let's say.
They're nice peaches, but they're not fuzzy.
Peaches.
Johnny Lang's holding up the lemons that we're going to be using for our tequila in about 20 minutes. So.
Oh, good.
All right, well, thanks for playing broad bingo.
Thank you.
All right,
come on.
Hi, N-E-W.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Elizabeth again.
Oh, Elizabeth.
I'm sorry.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm still here.
All right, what do you got now?
She's holding.
This is
you just clicked on the button again.
She's holding.
Oh, this is the girl that wants to go backstage.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hi.
All right, hold on the line. Kevin, get Johnny's people.
Somebody's got to work these phones.
God, she's still waiting.
Hi, N-E-W.
Operation.
I'm on hold for the guys.
All right, no, you're right here.
You're on
the
air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your name?
Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. You want to play bra bingo?
Yes, I do. 34B.
34B. Oh, I got that. It's the other corner.
Me too. I got that.
Come on. Oh, yeah, I got that. All right. You got a question for Johnny Lang? No. Okay.
She left. Gave her bra size and left.
That's better.
Hi, N-E-W.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Shoshan.
Shoshan. Yeah, I like that name.
Thanks.
And where are you calling from?
From Manhattan.
Okay, you got a bra size?
Yes, I do.
All right, let's hear it.
It's 34D.
Oh!
34D? Yeah, I got that. I'm getting all the corners, but I need a... Oh, that's good. That kind of lines up.
All right, right on. It's Opie. It's Anthony. And Sammy Hagar is... he's... In the building, Anthony.
Yeah, right.
He's upstairs. We're going to get him in a couple minutes, and we're going to get hammered with Sammy Hagar.
Because tequila.
He's what is he making for us today?
Some of these margarita things.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
All right, stick around for Sammy Hagar. If you got a question for Sammy, you could ask that today.
Save up for all week. I don't wear headphones, it's okay with you.
Cool. It's the Rock of New York, 102.7 WNEW, 2 for Tuesday with Van Halen. Finish what you started. And Ice Cream Man before that. Sorry, Sammy.
You've got, man, if I'd have walked in on that,
yeah, I know.
I would have drank this whole bottle.
Yeah, we were like, put the monitor down outside. Don't let him hear that one. Yeah, what are you doing, Andrea? Wait a minute.
Hey, it's legal. She's the one who did it.
She programmed the music knowing Sammy's going to be in here, and you play that.
We'll give her three shots in a row to start with.
You know. You play that Cubic Zirconia Dave song?
Ice cream, man. We're drinking tequila now, okay? It doesn't go with ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, you brought the tequila. Yeah. This is a step up for us, because last week we were drinking 40s.
Yeah.
we were.
We had a guy, Old Dirty, come in because there's some problem with one of these malt liquors advertisements in New York. They were saying it's racist and stuff, and so we wanted to taste test it. So we had a guy come down, and we just were getting snotted on bad malt liquor. This stuff, though.
Why would they say malt liquor's racist? Look, I'm stirring it up here, man.
I don't know. It was one of the posters, because one of the posters advertising this malt liquor.
Well, Lou Rawls was the first guy to advertise. Remember the
balls? Yeah, baby.
So they had a brother endorse it, so they probably figured, you know, it's like it's
well, they,
you
know, they
must have worked.
They said they target the African American communities with the advertising,
right?
And
so
that's
why do
what's racist.
Get uptight about that? It's totally cool,
right?
I mean, it's like, you know what?
That's what we were saying.
Exactly.
And then the next thing you know, my picture's in the paper next to the grease man. Yeah.
Yada dada. Well, you guys should drag me behind a car, maybe.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Drag me in, and we'll set the record straight.
I'm sure some people in Van Halen wouldn't mind.
So,
come on.
Well, you
must be so sick of that. Like, any references with Van Halen, because everybody asks you,
come on,
what happened? What's the whole thing?
Well,
like,
I'm not about to go back through it.
No.
But the truth of the matter is truthfully, as more time goes by, I have more and more good memories and less bad memories. Because, in all honesty, the first 10 years were fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was a ball. You know, maybe we got in a couple arguments two or three times, maybe. You know, never came to blows or nothing.
Right.
But that last year, which didn't come to blows, but kind of wish it would have, you know. I could have got a lot of it. I probably would have felt so pissed for about the first 2 months, you know. What
right,
I mean?
Right.
But, no, you know, it was just a bad, it was like a great movie with a bad ending, that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got nothing bad to say. The longer it goes, like I say, you forget about all the crap.
That's like any relationship.
Start remembering.
Yeah.
And I'll hear an old song, I finish what you start, and I start remembering, you know, recording it and writing it and stuff. And then
you hear Ice Cream Man and you want to kill somebody. I gotta get in your head really fast. So you leave Van Halen, okay?
Yeah.
And you're watching the MTV Music Awards.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see that mess, David Lee Roth walking on stage with the rest of the band.
What were you thinking?
Was that like one of those like embarrassing moments?
Churning. I'm going, oh my god. You know what I was honestly feeling? The first twisted thing that went through my mind was, what if someone thinks that's me?
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like some guy watching it, you know, that doesn't really know who Van Halen is.
What did they do to him?
That's that Sammy Hagar guy. What's his problem?
Why is his pants up to his nipples?
Why is he making all those funny gestures?
Even, like, Eddie and the rest of the guys were so, like, uncomfortable on that stage.
That was, man, I'll tell you, I was...
That's definitely a low point.
I was bleeding. But you know what? Here we go again. Now, here's a good thing, you know. Everybody says, you know, well, were you happy, you know, when their record didn't do so good without you? And I'm saying, of course I was. You know,
the last thing
you want, you know, is like to leave the band
like
I did when I joined the band, and it goes on and has more success. That probably, Dave is probably still dying about that.
Right.
I would have felt the same way. No doubt about it. That's a horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw him on there, I was worried because I was thinking, man, Dave's coming back in the band. You know, a lot of the fans are going to like that, and they're going to go out. And what if they perform? And what if it's like really great?
Right, you know.
And I was sitting there kind of nervous, kind of, you know, didn't really want to watch. And man,
wow, that's cool.
All of a sudden,
you say that.
Jumped up off the ground and said, yes! everything's going to be okay.
When you break up with any girl or anything like that, you don't want to see her dating a doctor and stuff. You want to see her with the crackhead or something, you know? It's like, oh, what happened, honey?
Exactly.
That happened to me.
See him on a street corner.
Right.
All right. So you were relieved at that point, right?
Yes, sir.
And then we'll get the other Van Halen question on the way. Then the new album comes out, Van Halen 3.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, we were working in Boston at the time. We were embarrassed to play that on the radio. We really were, and they would beg us to say, no, man, be cool. Gary Cerrone is from Boston and stuff,
he's a good guy.
We like Gary a lot, and we interviewed him when he was in Extreme and stuff. But
obviously, they were trying to make him sound like you.
I don't think they were trying. When I joined the band, I realized Eddie picks up a guitar. Sometimes it's not even tuned to anything,
mm-hmm.
and it's just the way, you know, we made records.
Right.
And he just play a riff. And if I liked the riff. I'd start singing to it. I would write some lyrics, come up with a melody. We had a song. Boom, mm-hmm. right? You don't even know what key they're in sometimes, you know? So the point is that's the way it goes. Gary's voice, you know, my voice was okay in those registers.
Right,
you
right.
know, wherever, but obviously, it was a little bit of a strain, and you know, because, I mean, to me, he sang better in extreme. But I'm not putting Gary down. This ain't his fault. He's totally cool. Everything's fine with Gary. I got no problem.
Well, what singer wouldn't want to step into that situation,
exactly.
especially,
it's a good
you
situation
know?
For him.
Yeah. But it just sounded like a bad parody of what you were doing in the band. That's what scared me, because Gary Cerrone has a great voice. And
well,
it's like, why?
Singing to the guitar chords and the changes in Eddie's tunings and stuff, you know, he's a unique guitar. Harper,
mm-hmm.
and singing to those kind of changes that he does kind of is very restricting. You almost have to do certain things, and finding a melody to sing sometimes was difficult, you know,
really?
Other than a song like Finish What You Started, which was mainly my trip.
Right,
know? So
right.
some of the songs that were a little more melodic were like, that was kind of my input, but some of the jams where I would just yell and scream a couple things and let some music go by and yell and scream again, because there wasn't much of a melody you could really put to some of that type of music. And unfortunately, this was like an Eddie solo record. This is unfortunate for Gary. Mm. And there was just tons of those kind of songs. So normally, I'd weed those out. I'd be saying, oh no, Eddie, get that out of there. Let's put a different chord change there. No, you can't go to that chord because
right,
it
right.
screws up the melody I got going here, and you know, we wrote together, it was a good thing, but I don't think Gary knew about doing that, and he just tried to make it work,
mm-hmm.
and it's just not singer friendly, some of those guitar parts.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta
know,
like
it's
scream
like
your balls off.
So, it should have been instrumental.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on with the guitar work on that album,
but it's difficult walking into a band with what, how many years, you know, 11 with me, 8 with Ramos, 20
yeah.
years of history, and throwing a new voice in there,
mm-hmm.
and when you're not seeing it, you're just hearing it, you're going, geez, this sounds like Van Halen, but
something's a little amiss.
Yeah.
It's like the retarded brother. Or
not
a Van Halen. Do you remember where you were when you heard the album for the first time?
Yeah, I was at my house in Hawaii, and someone sent it to me in the mail.
Oh, yeah?
Way before it came out. And
oh,
I let it sit on the counter, just like the MTV thing. I let it sit there for about 3 days. I kept looking. I'm saying, I'm not ruining my vacation. You know, what if it's great?
Right, right.
What if it's great? Put it on. No one said a word in my house, man. Had it cranked, had a couple people over. They conned me into it, actually. They said, come on, let's hear it, you know, let's hear it. So I had to get brave, a couple shots of tequila, maybe a big hit of a dub, you know. And then put it on, about 4 songs into it. I did it once again. I jumped up and said, yes! Oh, boy, you guys are dragging me right back through this.
You were relieved.
Hey, your club.
Yeah,
Cabo Wabo. Now, I thought that was always yours? Or
oh,
was
yeah.
that all?
I built it. I was in Van Halen at that time, and I'd been going down there before then. I had a place down there. I lived down there part-time. I used to go down there and write all my lyrics. And so I started building this club, and it was to be a tequila bar, tequila mezcal bar. That's my whole thing. Because
nice.
I went to the town of tequila, and I discovered all these great little boutique tequilas that you'll never see.
The town of tequila.
It's a town of 35,000 people now, man. It's like
really?
Napa Valley, or it's like, you know, Bordeaux or something, man. It's like bumper to bumper and stuff. It used to be donkeys and carts, you know, but anyway. You know those shows, you've heard of those.
Yeah.
So I built this club, and our manager at that time, Ed Leffler, who passed away in 93, he said, you know, I said, Ed, hey, I want to make this a big grand open. I want to fly all these other bands and musicians down and jam, you know, with us. And he goes, well, if you're going to get the guys in the band to do it, buddy, he goes, you better call it Van Halen's Cabo Wabo. And I'm going, okay, that's fine, you know. So it wasn't a problem. The guys were kind of into it.
Mm-hmm.
MTV jumped in it, and we chartered a big plane and flew all these celebrities down, have a big blowout party. And then after Ed Leffler died, and it wasn't somebody to really take care of the business of it, they just weren't interested in keeping the quality of the place up.
Really?
And I was, and I, you know, you got to put new furniture in a place like that about every 6 months because people come like trash on tequila, man. I mean,
they're breaking everything in
every
the place.
Every person I know is puked in the Cabo Wabo. You know what I'm saying?
Right on.
So you have to keep it going, you know. And they just weren't interested in keeping it alive. And I loved the place, and I'd go
yeah.
down there and spit jam with people. I just jammed with John Entwistle down there 2 weeks ago. With Matt Sorum and myself, we did a Who set, an hour and a half.
Wow.
Impromptu. Place was about 400 people in there just sitting around dancing to whatever, AC/DC and stuff, or the box. All of a sudden, we walk out there on stage, jump up, man. It's like, whoa.
No,
man. I mean, you know, it's really cool to do that.
You get a whole international clientele down there, a lot of Americans or all Americans?
It's mostly Americans,
yeah.
really. Yeah, I mean, you get some people from Mexico City and some, rockers from Mexico over there, but it's a pretty isolated little place there, you know?
Yeah, cool.
Well, let's take a quick break. We're going to break open the tequila. You going to have a few shots with us, Sammy?
Well, not a few. I got to play sometime today. You guys are starting my motor up a little early.
Yeah, you're playing the Hard Rock Cafe tonight. It's going to be a great, great time.
We're having a party. What we're doing is going around the country. There's 13 Hard Rocks today. Hard Rock Worldwide loved my tequila, and they want to put it in the bars. And they said, well, so would you come around and promote it? And I said, well, if I can mix it with the new song and the record somehow, but the album's not out yet, but we're going around. We're just playing parties. No tickets of it. You can't buy a ticket. It's not for sale. It's a party.
We've been giving them away all week.
We don't want people puking on Elvis's jacket or anything in the Hard Rock with that tequila, though.
102.7 WNEW, the Rock of New York. You hang with Opie and Anthony and Sammy Hagar.
My record sounds so bad, all that leakage.
What is he saying over there, Anthony?
You ever blow your voice out?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because you're always balls out like that. I'm just wondering if you ever just went to sing and nothing came out.
Yeah, a few times, but that's usually from being sick. I don't usually just blow my voice out completely because I have a pretty tough voice. But if you get sick, you get a cold, you know, and then try to sing.
Did you do any training or anything, or that just came natural from...
No, it's kind of like I said, you know, it's like training is in the bottle. You know?
There you go.
I trained on stage. That's why it took me so long to make it. You know, it's like I did all that training, you know, as a professional.
Right.
Well, can we try the tequila?
Yeah, let's give it a whirl, man.
Well, what are the listeners? How are they going to know what this tastes like and it looks like? Yeah, this blue bottle looks like the ocean in Cabo, okay? If you're sitting, you know, in an airplane, the beautiful ocean, kind of turquoisey.
It's got
blue,
the whole pitch.
And it's...
The smell. Now, that was something I like.
We call it vitamin T. It's almost good for you. You don't need a salt, a lime. As the song says, Mas Tequila,
all right.
Take your vitamin T with salt and limon slice. A limon in Mexico, it's not a lemon. A limon, you tell a guy you want a lemon, and they give you a lime. Ah. You say, oh, I'll have a lime, and you still get a lime. It's a limon. Okay.
Now, you were telling us
Sammy's pouring them.
Pouring, man.
Okay.
That's just a little bit. Now, look, tonight I'm doing a little party, and I might be doing a lot of this later on, okay? A lot of it during the show, and a lot of it after the show, and I got to go have some kind of a system here, you know?
But we're going tonight, man. I want to check this out.
Look at the line forming over here.
Everyone's
listeners, you should see this line. You got to get this tequila.
Is Gary, you having one?
Absolutely.
Yeah, look at this. Our boss is having one.
Gary.
It's Tequila Tuesday, everyone. And since it's two for Tuesday, we're going to need another one.
Look, I filled that one up real high, and everyone can pass it around. I'll tell you how.
People
are lined up outside the door. They're just coming in.
All right.
You know what I mean? You don't have to worry. It'll kill anything. You can drink right after someone with the flu. It doesn't matter.
Same cup. And we've never had this many people in the studio. I think we got to have Tequila Tuesday every week.
It's funny what tequila does. I always say at my club, you know, I'm saying, they say, where's your favorite place to play in the world? I say, it's the Cabo Wabo. And it's not because I own the place. It's because everyone's drunk on tequila. And when... A bunch of people drunk on tequila are a blast, you know. It's like, you know, you get a bunch of 400, 500 people drunk on beer in a room, and what do? They start fighting and stuff. You know? Tequila, man. People start taking their clothes off and dancing.
Well, we're hoping for that today.
It's a whole different thing.
Now, I'm noticing the smell isn't the same as most tequila I have had because... No. It doesn't smell all that strong.
Look at them coming. It
doesn't have this chemical smell to it.
No, there's no chemicals. This is pure.
It's all natural. It's got to be good then, right?
Natural. No preservatives, no chemical, no sugar.
Look at everybody coming in here to drink tequila.
We honestly, someone has to take a picture.
Like 20 people
in here. We got about 20 people in the studio.
You guys blew it. If I'd have known this many people, I would have started selling these shots.
You should have.
How many more we got?
How many more? We're going to do it. We're going to all do it together.
How many?
Walk around the other way,
guys.
A
couple people got real big ones now. You know, my judgment was real bad on a couple of these pours, so.
Now, I'm going to do it Now, if anyone has to puke, here, Ben, pull out the garbage can over there.
You got a half-full glass. Don't slam it, folks.
Now,
problems.
Sammy said you should use sea salt. Because the salt with the chemicals, like iodized, you know, that's not good. Well, but I'm going to use that anyway.
Yeah, let me pass the salt.
And then a piece of lemon, which should be lime.
Lime, because of the lime flavors in tequila. In real tequila, pure tequila has a little bit of lime flavor and a little bit of salt flavor. So you want as pure salt as possible when you're using a pure tequila, and as pure lime, lime, you know, ripe, nice ripe lime. Lemon will do, man. It's just, you know,
you think
it's
anyone's,
all good.
You think anyone's listening to this anymore?
I have a feeling a couple of people just took off and went down to the liquor store.
They wanted interactive radio.
Anybody else more here?
All right. Wow, this is almost like a dream come true, man. I'm doing shots of tequila with Sammy Hagar.
Hey, it's the next best thing to being in the Cabo Wabo, I'll tell you that.
All right, is everyone ready?
Yes.
Wait.
What are they doing? This is good tequila, man. If you want to do it, you can, but you don't.
All right, wait. Sammy, do a toast.
I'm smelling.
All right, do a toast or something for the
people. I raise a toast to peace, love, and happiness, and mas tequila.
Mas tequila. All right. Everyone.
Wow.
Whoa. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That'll make you happy.
Woo! Wow.
That'll make you happy.
Let the party begin.
Oh, this room just came up a notch.
Wow. Whoa. Suddenly I want to hop in my car and drive over mailboxes.
Now, truthfully, is that the best tequila you've ever tasted?
Wow.
I like that. I like that a lot.
That is good.
It'll burn in your stomach. I mean, it's alcohol, but man, but its taste in your mouth is good.
It sure makes you salivate.
Yeah,
gets all the juices flowing.
You go shove your tongue down some girl's throat, man. I'm telling you, you're there.
Right.
Wow. That was good. I want to put M80s in mailboxes now.
Hey, Gary, break open your bottle, man. What are you doing?
Oh, look, Gary's
at you.
Look at his bogarting it. He's taking it home with him.
Woo. We'll get you another bottle.
Was that it? That was the whole bottle?
We killed the whole bottle.
Wow. Look at that.
Egg. And I think that's backwash.
Yeah, a little bit in the bottom there.
All right, Sammy.
Wow.
You got to tell us about the new album. It's coming out, what, March 23rd?
March 23rd.
It's called Red Voodoo.
Yes.
We've been playing Mas Tequila here at NEW and getting lots of requests for it.
Well, you know, it's pretty much a party record and a party tune, and it's not that I tried to make that. You know, it's like March to Mars is a very serious record for me. Mm-hmm. Coming off the Van Halen split, I was, you know, a little angry and had some
little white lies and
wanted
all.
To get
very
out.
Good.
You know,
okay.
I take it out in my songs instead of my wife. You know, so after that, you know, I put a new band together, went out and did 110 shows. You know, the Wobble Ritas, and we played Cabo probably 7-8 times last year,
mm-hmm.
and I just started getting real festive about the whole thing. You know, it just started getting better and better,
right.
You know, when you're it's like a dog off the leash, man. You start having fun, you know, going around sniffing everything, you know. So I was having a pretty good time, and as when I started writing, it just started coming out. I just started writing down in Cabo a lot. I started writing about the situation with the band. So we just got together at my house. The whole band moved into my house, and we wrote, produced, and did the whole record at my house. It's great.
Screw that. I need another
shot. But it's a party record, like, you know.
Well, let's check out
my fun.
Let's check out Mas Tequila here, right? It's Sammy Hagar off the
I'm already
looking at me. Look at him. Oh, come on, no?
Hello.
Oh, it was a double shot, man.
New York City.
The Rock of New York. 1027 WNEW. The latest from Sammy Hagar off his CD Red Voodoo, which comes out March 23rd. That's Mas Tequila.
You're right there, oh.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little better now.
Already? Oh, you mean it was cut?
It's funny because we're talking about Sammy's new, you know, CD Red Voodoo, and I'm listening to him, and all of a sudden I just start zoning out like, and it just came over me, man, that shot.
Yeah, tequila's a good high. It's a spirit.
Well, you poured me a double shot, though. I must say.
Yes, sir.
You did the whole thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the beginning of the bottle, people got the bigger shots than at the end of the bottle where we had to ration it out.
Wow.
But I got to tell you, I got the first cupful.
It was funny. About 5 months ago, 6 months ago, when the tequila first came to America, one of the first states we came to is back here in New York, and I came back with the tequila company, and we went around and had a bartender convention here outside of town out by the airport, and we invited all the bartenders because I have a drink that's made with this called a Wobble Rita, which is the name of my
band.
You
were supposed to make those for us today.
Well, it's a straight up like a martini served type margarita. Instead of, you know, it's shaken, mm-hmm. and but it's got a couple other mixtures in it, and it's got to be done right. The recipe's on this little tag on the bottle. So I wanted to show all the bartenders how to how to make a Wobblerita. So we had 150 bartenders in a room, and I got up there, and I showed them how to make a Wobblerita. And then we just made a bunch of them and just got trashed. I mean, trashed, man. Right, and then left this town, and we went to another state, you know.
And did the same thing over and over again.
Man, I want to tell you something. That was about 4 days of blur.
So now you got to watch it in New York because they take your car away if you're
driving.
Well, good.
Now, look, see, now that.
Yeah, do you have a license? Do you have a license?
Well, I do, but it's not very good. It's got a couple strikes on it.
Really?
Look, my whole trip is, you know, the I can't drive 55 thing.
Yeah.
I tell everyone, I said, oh, no, that's no longer represents Sammy Hagar. Now I'm represented by Mos Tequila. You know, this is a song
that
represents my life for the next 10 years. And it's like, and I try not to mix it too. It's like, hey, go out and get plastered and then drive fast. Oh, boy, yeah.
Yeah, the cops must just pull you over and was like, exactly. Oh, look, it's Sammy Hagar. All right, I can't drive 55, Mos Tequila.
So,
huh?
The other day says, you know, I used to always say, you know, a cop will pull me over and say, oh, man, you know, couldn't see the... I didn't know how fast I was going or whatever. You know, this guy said, yeah, just tell him, no, man, hey, I've been drinking so much tequila, man, I couldn't see the speedometer. I'm going, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, that's wise.
Yeah, the mayor's loving you right now.
Yeah, they take your car now in New York if you're drunk.
I wouldn't drive in this town. You guys are crazy to drive in this town, man. I get in the back of a taxi.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's that scene.
Close.
Where are you going?
Take a couple whacks and...
Do you mind if I take the sidewalk? It's fun, man.
All right, everyone wants to talk to Sammy. Let's grab a few
Let's
phone
talk,
calls.
Sure. Let's talk to some listeners. See what these people got to say.
Hi, N.E.W.
Hi,
so
is Sam Hagar?
Yeah, you're live on the air with Sammy Hagar.
Oh, my God,
there you go.
That's the Hagar squeal. Well, it's a phenomenon we hear.
Obviously, she's been drinking.
I'm only 15.
Huh?
I'm only 15. Oh. I haven't been drinking.
So don't start now, okay? Listen, don't get me in trouble with your mom now. You
yeah,
know?
Really.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
What are your top five favorite bands?
Right now, my favorite band is Tool. I really
am. Yeah, we love Tool.
I think Tool's about the coolest band happening right now, the most innovative, best-sounding, weirdest, you name it. I just really dig Tool. And after that, geez, man, I don't know. I mean, I'm a Peter Gabriel fan, which is Tool, Peter Gabriel. Well, this guy's crazy. Take that tequila away from this guy. But I don't know. Just off the top of my head...
Sorry, no Hanson or NSYNC.
I don't like them. They suck.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Hi, N.E.W.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on?
All right, you having fun or what?
I'm having a blast. What's up there, Sammy? How you doing?
Everything's good, man. This is the first time I ever sat in a radio station and got liquored up.
Every week, man. Sammy, one thing before I ask you a question, I agree with you. Every time I see David Lee Roth, he looks like a constipated dog shaking his legs off.
Oh, man. I didn't see
my
that.
Goodness.
You're saying you agree with me. Now, wait a minute. You're saying you
don't
agree
you love
with
that?
Me
yeah.
As if I said that.
No,
man.
No. The way he looked on the Video Music Awards.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty rough.
Man.
Yeah. That was rough, you know.
Listen, my name's Pete. I'm from Wantua. I've seen you at Jones Beach just tons of times. I've seen you Coliseum, in the garden and whatnot. But I gotta ask you, I don't know if you even, you know, recall or whatnot, but at Jones Beach, you guys always seem to be in fire, particularly you. Do you like dig playing down there or whatnot? Do you even know?
Yeah, I like venues like that, you know. To me, being a singer, it's much more... fun to sing and a little more relaxed on your voice to sing outside, you know, and especially when there's a little ocean air and stuff and some kind of moisture in the air, because you get inside of a building where there's been 18,000 people and they're breathing up all the good air and smoking cigarettes all night. By the time I get up there, they've been in there 7-8 hours. There ain't a lot left.
Right.
It's hard on your voice. It really is. So I really enjoy open air. And I remember last time Jones Beach, we had that big rain, and I don't know if you were there when it rained. Like,
yeah, we were there.
So I jumped out in the rain with y'all and ruined my cordless microphone. It's cost me about $5,000.
Hey, man, but you guys always put on a good show, and I'm looking forward to the new record, and have fun tonight.
Thank you very much.
Kick ass on this new record, and good luck, brother.
It's a rocker for you, man.
All right, man. Stay with these guys. These guys are the best in New York. Man.
I know. They're cracking me up. I'm having the best time I've had a radio in years.
You will. Take care, Opie Anthony. Later, Sammy. Good talking to you.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Take care, man.
All
right.
Howard treats you good this morning?
You know, he wasn't too hard on me. He kind of endorsed me for the first time. And now he's on my side, you see. You know, before, he's like, when I replaced Roth, he was on Roth's side.
Yeah.
Now he's on my side. He always likes the guy that's kind of out in the cold.
Right. Well, we grew up in New York, so obviously we listened to Howard. And I remember him bashing you on one video. It was,
man.
He's got his head buried up the ass of Eddie Van Halen on one of the videos. Look at him. What is he, kissing his ass or something?
Yeah, Howard's silly, man. You know, first time I went in there, I was really upset. You know, I was going to go in there and like just really get his case, you know.
Yeah.
And he kind of disarmed me before the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He was real nice to me.
Yeah, but you know what happened? Because I heard that. Because I remember that whole thing. He's kind of a phony, though, because as soon as you left, then he trashed you.
Well, we kept listening to
I was always wondering if people listen after, right?
Yeah, I did. Exactly why, because he did, you know.
Because that one time he was kissing your ass, saying how David Lee Roth sucks. And as soon as you left the studio, he starts trashing you and saying, man, you know, let's get David Lee Roth on the phone. And I was like, what a pussy, man. You had Sammy right there. Tell him how you really feel. But that was a few years back.
He's a funny guy, man. He's a funny guy.
Yeah. All right.
He's got an advantage. First of all, you got to realize something. 7 o'clock in the morning, Sammy Hagar on the East Coast. Now, I'm a West Coast person.
Oh, yeah.
From Cabo. That was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wake up.
And I'm telling you, I wasn't quite ready. I was a little grogged out, a little slowed down.
Right.
After I left, I come up with some of the best answers.
All right, you got a question for Sammy.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
Good.
Hey, Opie, hi, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Sammy, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, listen, man, I just want to say you guys are great, man. I mean, I love listening to your show. And Sammy, let me say something, man. You're great.
Thanks. Love
your voice. I mean, I got albums of you. I mean, I even go back to when you were in Montrose.
Wow.
Wow.
That far back when you were playing, when you were doing, you know,
Rock Candy,
Nation,
Motor Scooter,
Space Station Number 5. I mean, incredible, you know. I mean, I think, you know, personally what they, you know, they got this other guy playing in for Van Halen. He stinks, man.
Thank you very much, man. That's a high compliment.
I mean, really.
A lot of people, I guess, don't realize you had a huge career before Van Halen, you know?
Yeah.
People forget that sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
The Red Rocker.
Everywhere but New York City. Yeah. It was a funny thing, you know, as a solo artist throughout my career, I headlined arenas everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never come to New York because the first time I came here, I opened for Kiss. Well, not the first time. As a solo artist, Montrose actually played here for The Who one time. But I opened for Kiss, and I got booed off the stage at Madison Square.
Get out of here. What happened?
Off the stage. By the third song, I pulled down my pants. I gave it a little shake at him. I smashed the guitar up, and I said, that you people, right?
Yeah.
And I split. And I said, I'll never play that city again. That
wow.
I'm serious. And then I came back with the group Boston about, you know, 5 or 6 years later. And I said, okay, I'll try it again.
We'll try it again here.
Open for them was kind of a mediocre response, but I made it through the set.
Who were you opening for when they booed you?
Kiss.
Oh, Kiss?
It was
that was
way
the
back
show?
In the old days, you know, 77 or something, 76.
Right. Well, yeah, anybody up there before Kiss would have gotten booed off.
It was rough, man.
Oh, that
rough,
hurts.
You know, so... You know, I had kind of I was nervous, you know, I didn't really, and then, you know, through Van Halen, we, you know, did really well here all them years and everything,
sure.
So I'm over it now, I'm okay. You know?
Right.
But I skipped over, you know, 3 Lock Box, VOA, you know, to ask the promoters around here. I didn't play. I played outside of here, anywhere, I did not play.
What a deal.
And,
well, New York could be rough.
Weird thing, you know, for me.
Hi, N.E.W.
Hey, Sammy.
Yeah.
I want to let you know that I'm sure a lot of people stroke your ego a lot, but no one's ever going to confuse you with Ross. I'm going to talk to Van Halen for a quick second, then I'm going to ask you a question. What you brought to the band was a great musician and a hell of a voice.
Thank you very much.
All right, you showed growth on every album, and you peaked with Ballast. Terrific, terrific vocals and music on that album.
Well, that's pretty profound.
Quick question.
Uh-huh.
And that was 11 years of Van Halen. I saw every show with you. What's the difference now, touring with a band? I'm sure they're your friends. But after spending so much time with a group of guys where you seem to have so much fun together and so much respect for one another, what's the difference now?
He's making me tear up.
Ooh, man. You know, there really isn't a lot of difference because when you put a band together of people that you really enjoy and love to play with, it's really the same. My new band I have the same feelings with these guys as I did with Van Halen. The difference was with Van Halen is that we were 4 really strong, equal individuals that were really individuals. And when we got together, a special thing happened, and it's like, being a solo artist is different from that. Van Halen was a chemistry of 4 people, and as you see, one person leaves and the chemistry changes.
That's totally true, and I tell you what, I think they probably would have been better off doing an instrumental album, because after having you in the band, there was no place to go but down.
And
where are you, in the monkey cage? Listen, what's going on in the background?
But the thing is,
I'm a father now.
So am I. But when you're a solo artist, the difference is that you can kind of do anything you want when you want to do it, and it's a lot pure. It's, hey, there you go. I like that. See, that makes me homesick, buddy, man. Yeah. Put her on the phone. Put that kid on the phone.
I gotta watch my son.
All right, buddy.
That's good.
Okay, hey, keep rocking, Sammy. Doing
thank you very much.
Right. How old's your kid?
Mine? Oh, three. I have a three-year-old daughter. Yeah. I heard that scream, and I assumed it was a girl, you know? The little daughters are squealing all the time.
Would that, like, totally change your life?
Yeah, man. Yeah? It kind of hooks you right up. You know what it does? It gets your priorities straight. You know, all this time, you know, you think about me, you know? Even with your wife, you know, you fall in love. You know, you think you're just so in love with your wife, all right? Oh, man, just love her more than anything in the world. And then, but it's still me. It's like, show me how much you love me all the time. You know, like, you know, that's what it's all about, right? It's like, you know, you're never sure that she loves you enough. Well, you know, and you want her to show you so much how much she loves you so that you can let go and show her, right?
Did Sammy have to take the garbage out and stuff?
I take the garbage out.
Did you get Sammy Hagar, vacuum the carpet.
No.
No?
No, she don't tell me what
to do. Could you tell her that?
But when
that's my wife right there.
Leave him alone.
But Sammy Hagar told you.
When you have a baby and that little head pops out and you see that little face, I'm telling you, you are changed up. It's no longer me. It's like, I'll do anything for this thing. I'm going to make sure this human being is safe, happy, and, I mean, you know, I swear, it's just like, you just, you know the true meaning of love. It's about giving, not taking. And a baby, to me, did that for me. And,
there you go. Wow.
Thing, man. I'm down with it.
Hey, you have a question for Sammy?
Tired of being a selfish piece of crap. You know?
I'm going to try and take too long. I'm a volunteer fireman. I got a house burning down.
Whoa. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Burning down the house.
Wait, are you on the way to the fire?
No. I work down the street. I'm at work. I've been out of work for like 45 minutes. And we got a fire, but I wanted to ask my question.
365 degrees. Burning down the house.
I just want to say, like, Sammy, I heard you talk. You just seem like, you know, such a big man about everything that happened. And I think that's really cool. But I was, like, especially earlier when you were still all kind of PO'd about.
Yeah.
And you decided to go solo. Did somebody, like, call you up and want to be your drinking buddy? And, like, be all pissed off, you know, and be all blazing pissed offness.
Just bad mouth everybody?
Yeah. Did he call you up and was like, hey, come on, let's get some beers.
Are you insane? No, what kind of question is that?
I had a couple friends. You know, that's a pretty unique question because it's true. You know, I had a couple friends, like, you know, publicly everyone told me, all my professional people, you know, my manager, my lawyer, you know, don't go bashing them. Take the high road, Sammy. Take the high road. I'm going, you know, and it's like, so, but I had a couple friends that I could sit down with and say, man, you know.
Yeah, right, just let loose, sure.
Right. We didn't necessarily get trashed and do it, but we just did it, man. It just would turn that way. And there was a couple people that, now, there was a guy that used to make Eddie's guitars. I'll even say he was straight up, man. He was the guy who used to make Eddie's original guitar, and then Eddie got in a big beef with him. So this guy...
Wait.
All right, there we go.
back up like 5 seconds. Cause we had
at least you know Sammy's getting comfortable. No, so this guy, man, he was upset with Eddie, very much so, right? And Eddie left the company and started another guitar company, endorsed another guitar. And me and this guy... We got together on it, man.
Oh, really? Just did some bashing?
We went off, man. I'm telling you, he told me stories, and I told him stories. It was venting, you know. It was really therapy, you know.
It's healthy.
I actually felt a lot better after that.
I think a lot of people want to see a pay-per-view. You and David Lee Roth go out. Yeah. Oh,
that'd be huge. I'd be like the Tyson Spinks fight. You know, like 72 seconds of the first round.
All right, man. Thanks, Doug.
R 51, engine 51, fire in progress.
Thanks, Doug.
Hi, Eddie W.
Hi. I have a question for Sammy. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great now.
Man, you're the best.
Thanks.
I just want to say that you're a lot better for Van Halen than David Lee Roth ever was.
Wow, revelation.
It's so funny, man. It's like all this is coming around now. You guys should have popped up, you know, but no. No, thank you very much.
No,
I think the Roth era was very good. It just was different, you know. Like I said, chemistry's different. There's three different eras now, and every new guy in a band like Van Halen, because it's a chemistry band, it's not about one guy's solo trip. And it just makes for chemistry, and each guy's different. So.
And it was two different bands when you think about it.
I have a question. about when you play on your own, do you play any VH songs that you play with them?
Oh, yeah. Like tonight, we're doing this party over at the Hard Rock. I'll probably do maybe three, you know, we're playing about an hour, 20 or so. We don't play a long time because it's just a party, you know, and everybody's so drunk by the time we finish. We play as long as we can, okay?
Right.
And it's kind of like, yeah, maybe I'll play three Van Halen songs. And when I do my normal 2.5, 3 hour show, I'll play like 6 or 7 Van Halen songs and a couple Montrose tunes. And
mm-hmm.
I try tonight. It's really kind of like a greatest hit set, you know,
yeah.
It's got, you know, all the hits from my past career, and all three of them. And they're all three Van Halen songs. Isn't that weird?
And when are you touring on your own?
The tour starts May 1st, actually, and I think we'll be up here in the summer.
Awesome.
All right, man.
Thanks a lot, Sammy. You're the best.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. I don't know. Do you have to leave, or...
Yeah. I'm having so much fun, though, man. This is, but, why don't we just, everything else I have to do, let's just bring them down.
Yeah, but, yeah. But
just,
you got the booze here. We got good company.
You can't leave. You brought the beer. You brought the tequila, actually.
It's kind of like the guy in the band who can't, you can't fire him because he has the truck and the PA.
His equipment.
That's,
yeah. How many times are you into that? Yeah.
Fire him. I think that's how Roth got the job in Van Halen originally.
I did read that. Didn't he have a PA or something?
I swear to God.
Yeah,
I'm not joking. That, it was like, that was the deal.
I read that. He was doing Michael, disco tunes.
Yeah, Michael Anthony and Eddie were the original singers.
Right.
Which...
Is there tape of that?
I don't know.
I'd love to dig some of that up. Yeah.
They told me those stories themselves. And then Roth had a truck and a PA, a van and a PA. Man, it's like, hey, you want to be in our band? What do you do? It doesn't matter.
You got the equipment.
Cowbell, you're in.
All right.
Work out a tambourine. Okay for him.
I guess we got to let him leave.
All right.
All right, so
happy to be here. It's been a great thing. This is Sammy Hagar wanting to sign off with you people, but don't change the dial because I think they're going to play some more of my music.
Hell yeah.
Don't, I'm going to do like I did at Howard. I'm going to listen to you guys on the way out.
We're going to come out of commercials and say, you know, you suck.
Oh, come on.
We would never do
I'll
that.
I'll be back. I'm right down the street, bro. I'm right down the street.
No, we're a little, we're real here, man. All right. Well, Sammy Hagar.
Sammy, thank you, man.
The new CD comes out March 23rd. It's Red Voodoo. Playing the Hard Rock Cafe tonight, and we're playing Mos Tequila here on the radio. A lot of people love it, so.
For home delivery, call 1-800-NY-TIMES. Respect the world.
People just yapping. You know. See what tequila does to everyone. Everyone's pals now.
I'm going to go downstairs for a cigarette.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to thank Sammy Hagar for stopping by.
Yeah.
Honest to God, he's a great guy.
What a blast.
He's awesome.
Carte blanche. He can come back anytime.
All right.
Bring some of that tequila with him.
Anthony, here's something a little different. Let's play some music today.
Some what?
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
The last hour and a half since Johnny Lang came in has been a complete blur. The Rock of New York, 1027 WNEW, 2 for Tuesday with the Black Crowes. Track from By Your Side, That's Only a Fool. And Jealous Again from the first one.
Oh, what?
It's Opie and Anthony and Ralph Dator in the studio, hey. Our buddy, our pal.
Hey, listen, you son of a bitch. I don't need this crap anymore. I'm not going to take this.
To watch the
you could kiss my ass.
What, you want to fight?
You want to fight, man?
What, do you want
to
fight me?
Well, you're not good enough to shake my hand. I'm not good enough for you anymore. Well, tell me I'll kick your ass if you don't.
Look. I'm sorry,
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Look, give me a hug.
You're like my best friend. I'm sorry, man.
Hey, I call you out. I call you out, man. Come here.
Now, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
When do you get to go to work and do shots of tequila with Sammy Hagar?
When you're a DJ in New York.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I'm stunned.
That was great.
Yeah, that was good.
Ralph,
yeah.
You have fun?
Oh, great time.
Yeah. Did you get one of the early shots of tequila?
I got one of the early cups, yeah.
It was about
half full.
I got to tell you guys.
And these are coffee cups. You should tell people.
Yeah.
This is like the
coffee cups.
Come out of the machine.
And when he started pouring, there were only about 5 of us in the studio.
So then when we're talking,
more people started coming in, so we had to make the shots smaller.
Yeah.
But the ones that got them first... Which is Ralph, me, Opie. They
released double
full.
Shots or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just saying before Sammy came in that I can't do tequila anymore. I had a bad experience way, way, way back. And I really haven't drank it since. So I'm like,
were you going to re-experience?
Well, I didn't want to be, you know, a pussy. So I'm I got to slam the shot, man. Mm-hmm. Sammy's here. He poured me a shot.
Can't punk out in front of Hagar, man,
not.
With his own tequila. What are you going to do, punk out?
He doesn't have the shot class. He's just like...
pouring whatever he felt like in the coffee cups. So I drink it, and I, for a split second, I'm like, oh, man, this stuff's coming up.
No way.
Yeah, and then I'll...
Oh, dude, if you would have hurled.
No, but it was... I mean, honestly, I really liked the tequila. But,
yeah.
But just because of the experience way back when, just a hint of the tequila made me think about...
But you're okay now.
Yeah, I'm fine now.
No. It's wonderful tequila.
Yeah, Cabo, it really is. Yeah.
Is Cabo Wabo tequila? Is that what it is?
Yeah, something
tequila
like that.
Tequila Tuesdays.
There you go.
Yeah, let's have Tequila Tuesdays, everybody. No, but he's a good example of one of the guys that have been in the business for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And it's not like when the newbie bands come in and they act like asses.
Third Eye Blind.
But did you hear what Eddie was saying?
He's honest. He's really honest. He comes in and pretty much told the story with the Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
And... there's no real BS coming out of him.
No, it was cool.
I liked it.
He spoke
good
his
guy.
Mind.
Yeah,
he's a good man too.
Yeah, you know?
He was playing blackjack with Eddie in Atlantic City.
Eddie, grab that mic.
Didn't know how to play blackjack. Tell him the story.
I went to see this thing that he's doing tonight on Sunday night. He played down in Atlantic City at the Taj. And afterwards, you know, at the end of the show, he said, "All right, I'll see you guys at the tables." Now, you know, that's everybody would say that. You know, oh, I'll see you later, whatever.
Right.
And you know, down at the tables, I'm sitting there playing blackjack. He pulls up the chair next to me. And he's like, you know, I've been a Sammy Hagar fan since Montrose, his first record. So I'm like, hey, this is cool. You know, starts ordering drinks. Where's the waitress? You know, where's the drink service? And he's, you know, he's betting pretty heavy hands. You know, obviously he can swing. He's got a couple of bucks.
Yeah,
so I'm playing like the table minimum and I'm just like hanging out and, you know, I'm losing my shirt. But Sammy, as much as I love the guy, doesn't really know how to play blackjack because he'll have like an 11 and not know to double down.
Oh, God.
He's got like 300 out there on one hand. He had like $300 and he drew like an 11 and the dealer had like a 3 show and he's just like, I'll stand.
Double down.
Sammy, you got to double down. And he goes,
sure.
That's $300. It's a $600 hand. I go, Sammy, you got to play by the rules. So he slides out $600 hand. Of course, he wins. He takes some chips. He starts throwing them over my
head.
Doing the right thing. Doing the right thing.
It was really cool. He's like the most down-to-earth, greatest guy, man.
Yeah.
So he's been
Look
cool.
at
always
that.
Had fun with Sammy on the radio.
First time a rock star ever paid me, you know, all these years growing up buying his records and stuff. I got a little kickback.
I guess.
All right. You know, I mean, we got to thank Johnny Lang for coming by, Sammy Hagar. We didn't even get to half the stuff we wanted to do today.
Who won, by the way?
Opie won Bra Bingo.
I did.
You won Bra Bingo?
Yeah, we had a Bra Bingo game today, and Opie won.
See, we needed to do the Bra Bingo while we were drinking the tequila. It would have been much more fun. It
would have been very hard to keep track of
who
had what.
That's true. But but also, we asked the listeners to send in their favorite Slim Pickens movie lines.
I don't know how we got on this. Stanley Kubrick.
A chink a day's pay for napping on the job.
You know what happened? Yeah, Stanley Kubrick dying, and Joe DiMaggio got all the press, but we were saying how brilliant Slim Pickens was.
Well, did you see the Screen Actors Guild Awards?
No.
Roberto, I always screw up his last
Bellini,
name.
Bellini,
from Life is Beautiful.
Yeah.
He won, and he paid homage to the maestro, as he called him.
Ah.
Because it just happened that day. It wasn't even really in print or anything.
Sure.
So he got a little coverage.
Ah, okay. Well, I don't think he was getting all the recognition that he needed, but no. Dr. Strangelove. One of the movies he directed, Slim Pickens riding the nuclear warhead down. Wasn't that great? He's riding the nuclear warhead down.
Mm-hmm.
But then we started talking about Slim Pickens and Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Another great movie that would never, ever, ever be made today because of all the racial overtones in it. And Richard Pryor, a writer on Blazing Saddles.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that until they roasted Richard Pryor recently.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, what do you think? Mel Brooks was coming up with all the black jokes in that?
You know what? There was a scene in there where the lights go down and he's in the room, the sheriff.
Madeline
Kahn. And...
Cleavon Little.
Cleavon Little, right.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Oh, you're so big," or whatever. And the next line, which was cut from the movie, was, "Baby, you sucking on my arm."
That was cut from the movie?
Cut the sentence. Oh, you're sucking on my arm.
Look at that.
Right. So everyone sent in their Slim Pickens lines.
Okay.
That's how we got on this subject.
Slim Pickens Blazing Saddles lines.
Well, you want to hear a couple of them here, Anthony?
Yeah, let's hear.
All right, here's another one.
"I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Creek."
"How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household."
"Too Jewish."